So let me just start out by saying, if God gives you a message on Sunday morning, you may be preaching it Sunday night. So I didn't write it down. So I had to write it down this a little while ago. So again, there's my wallet. I don't need it, but I don't need it in my pocket either. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you that we can be here this evening. I thank you that you do speak to us. I thank you that we serve a living Savior. We have a Bible that's alive. We come where we can hear your word preached. Help me to be faithful to you tonight. Help me to not say anything I shouldn't, and to say exactly what I should. I thank you for how you speak to us and help people to get a blessing from your word tonight. In your name I pray. Amen. So, Pastor this morning preached on discouragement. And as I was sitting there thinking, we'll cover some of the points because they're kind of important tonight. Discouragement is sin. You say, well, I just had something very bad happen to me. Yes, that happens. But being in the constant state of discouragement, i.e. Eeyore, is sin. Eeyore, if he were a Christian, is in sin. Eeyore is a fictional character. But I know plenty of Eeyores lost and saved. Where, I don't know. It's like, well, it's not that bad. Maybe it's worse, but it's not that bad. Don't quit on God, and don't complain. The verse that my children learned, and I've preached it, and when the people, Numbers 11:1, I think it is, and when the people complained, he displeased the Lord, and he smoked them. That's not in the original, but I think that's he was displeased, and when God's not happy, everybody says, well, Mama ain't happy, nobody happy. Well, when God's not happy, people tend to die. When in the children of Israel, when they had Hezekiah, the angel of the Lord came down and slew 120,000 Syrians in one night. So let's not make God unhappy. But while Pastor was preaching this morning, I'm thinking, well, that's fine when we're in discouragement, but what should we be doing when we're not discouraged? Because if you haven't had bad things happen to you yet, just wait. They're coming. Not to be discouraging, but I don't know if you've been paying attention out there, but it's a crazy world. Inflation is, well, it's not flat. It's crazy. Have you tried to buy anything at McDonald's and walked out for less than $20? For your hamburger and whatever. All these things, crazy things are happening out there. Angry people are everywhere. So if you don't think, well, I live a charmed life, good for you. Fantastic. Take advantage of it. But what about the rest of us who live here on earth? So you say, what do I do before I get discouraged? Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. So I don't know how long this message is going to be this evening, but again, just pray for me. I'm hearing some of this for the first time. So hopefully it's not anything objectionable, which I never put that past myself, but you never know what crazy is going to come out of your mouth. Especially when you're in front of people. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 27. So this is Jesus speaking, obviously, because the words are in red. That was a joke. Some of you don't have Bibles that are in red. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them that hate you. Bless them which curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid him not to take thy coat others, thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. Now, so far, this is all hard stuff. And as ye would that men should do unto you, do unto them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love them that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also hope to sinner, also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. For those of you paying attention to the world outside, those last two words, unthankful and evil, that describes modern people today, unthankful and evil. Be therefore merciful as your Father in heaven, as your Father also is merciful. Because honestly, even if somebody does something very bad to you, you are not God, and you have not been sinned against like God has. I say that, it's awful easy to say, but you know, they did something to me. Judge not that ye be not judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Now, this is probably the one of the most taken out of context verses I've ever heard preached on giving, but it fits. But give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you mete out, that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I am sorry, this time of year, my eyes don't work so hot. So reading is sometimes a challenge, especially reading out loud. So give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. One of the things we should be doing, if you're not going through discouraging times right now, is doing exactly what 27 through 37 was talking about. How are you dealing with other people? I got taken advantage of by them, so the next person I get the chance to take advantage of, I'm going to. Well, I got bad news. When things go less than ideal, don't expect any help. If you are a prickly person and you're always looking to be looking, you know, you're always looking for what's in it for me, I got news. When you go have discouraging times, you're in for a real fun time, because nobody is going to be lining up to help you. And if they do, they are truly living verse 27 through 37. They are real Christians. Because if you are one of those people, nobody helps me unless I make them. Well, for those that you somehow con into helping you, they're really godly people, and you should do whatever you can to be, you know, to get to know them better. Because you need more of them in your life. I don't know where that came from, but anyway. But if you want some, you know, I call it scripturally banking. If you're not putting anything in, if personal checkbook time, if you go to the bank and put money in every week and then you need to write a check for $1,000, you can write a check for $1,000. If you're putting $25 in and taking $22 out of the bank every week, it's going to take a long time for you to be able to write a $1,000 check and not commit a felony. Everybody in here, I can write a check for $1,000,000. I just can't give it to anybody. It's because I don't want to go to jail. Your mouth is writing checks that your body can't cash. Well, guess what? Your life sometimes is writing checks that you can't cash by what you've laid in the bank. Sometimes, so we're all going to have trouble. What's this have to do with anything? We're all going to have bad days some days. We're all going to have a week with 7 Mondays in it. I've had them. You've had them. Sometimes you're going to have a year that feels like it has 200 or 300 Mondays in it. Had those too. But if you don't have anything in your spiritual bank, if you have a stretch like that, you're going to be spiritually shipwrecked. Don't expect God to. God's going to do things for you because you're his child. That's because nothing, this isn't merit. Our salvation and our Christian life is not merit-based. Because we're way down here, and God's, you know, at 40,000 feet of his goodness. But the principle also applies. If you want people to help you, what have you done to help other people through bad times? If you said, I'll be praying for you, and meant it. Because we've all said, I'll be praying for you, brother. Well, you should just confess that sin right now, because you and them, you both know that that's the last time you think about them. We've all done it. But do you pray for people? When you hear about other people going through problems, do you ask God, what do I need to do to help? Because honestly, I've had people do things for me, and I've done things for other people. And sometimes the things people have done for me, I'm like, why did they do that for me? Well, because God loves me, for one thing, and they do. And sometimes it's because of something I did 5, 10 years ago. But also, you're commanded to. Go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Let's go to verse 13. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Because if you do right, you stick out like a sore thumb, and the world wants to whack you, especially today, because they're all crazy out there. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. That phrase right there, we could spend another hour on, because we love the brethren. Is that how, if somebody looked at your life and said, I know that you've passed from death to life because you love the people you go to church with. I think we do. But you know what? There are days that we drive each other nuts. But do you love the brethren? How do you show love? You pray for them. You do things for them. You don't talk badly about them. So I'm hearing some of this for the first time. And that's one of them. But he that loveth not his brother abideth in death. So if you don't love the people that you go to church with or other Christians, you're going back to the world. You're going back to your old life. And who wants to do that? Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. That doesn't mean if you hate Christians, you're going to lose your salvation. That just means you're not going to have victory. There's sanctification that we have that you can never lose, salvation. You can't lose your salvation, but you can lose fellowship. And if you hate another believer, you are not going to have fellowship with God. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us as we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. How do we bank, put money in the bank spiritually? You give to people here. You give to other Christians you hear about. You give to God's work. I'm not saying, well, I gave a dollar, so I should get back X. If you're going with the formula approach, you're going to be sorely disappointed. I don't know anybody. I never heard the story personally, but my father told me, of a person who used to go here many years ago. I quit tithing because I never got anything out of it. Well, if you tithe or do anything for another Christian because of what you can get out of it, you have your reward. And I feel sorry for you. I don't think we have any of that here, but hey, we've all done things. We all keep score. That's how we're wired. That's part of what makes successful people successful, is a little bit of that, but that's also pride. But you can't keep score. Well, I gave Jackie $3 worth of stuff, and she gave me two. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. Or Jackie, Jackie gave me something worth $5. I got to give her something back. No. Maybe I'm supposed to give her something $50. Maybe. Because honestly, I can think of one particular instance in the last 12 months where I, left to my own devices, I wouldn't have done anything for the offering or for a special offering. But God said, you need to give this. But I don't want to. You need to do this. So I did. There have been other times where, but if I want God to bless me, when he tells me to do something, I have to listen. You know, the same thing, you know, with your children, for those of you that have children, and for those of you who are children, when you have a child who you have to harangue them to get them to do anything, and you'll do things for them because they're your child. And your parents will do things for you because you're their child. They're not gonna let you starve to death. But they're not, if they've got a kid who you have to harangue to get anything done and they want something special, good luck. You know, you may get it occasionally, but it's a whole lot easier to give to a child who shows gratefulness and who shows thankfulness and who shows mercy to others than to a child who every time you turn your back, they've got their brother or sister in a chokehold or are doing behind your back. We do the same thing to God, and then we say, God, I'm in trouble here. You know, we're like Peter, you know, about to go under the waves, and we're saying, I need help. And he's saying, well, the only reason I'm going to help you is because of me, not because of you. And this is, again, this is not keeping score because, you know, we can't measure up. And if you ever think you can, if you have a bad day, you're going to think, well, if I had a bad day, therefore I must be in sin. Well, maybe. That's probably a good place to start. But maybe, you know, what did Job do? What did Job do to warrant the book of Job happening to him? According to the Bible, nothing. Nothing. What did Paul do? Some say it's pride, and Paul kind of alludes to that because he says, I was given a thorn in the flesh that I might not be exalted above measure. Because Paul saw some things that nobody else of his time period had seen. And so if you see God's work in your life, expect some trying times. I've seen my share of fun times. But you know what? You know who you see in that? You know, when Moses was on the mountain and Elijah was on the mountain, they saw God in a way that nobody else did. Now, both Moses and Elijah are the only two people besides Jesus Christ who ever fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, recorded. There's some yogi in India that they've said he's gone, whatever. Okay, I'm not doubting that. But we're the two Bible characters. They were the only two that God really spoke to in a way that he didn't speak to and to anybody else. So they went through some things. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And I'm trying to keep this from being random thoughts with David, because that's often what me talking turns into. Deuteronomy, or I'm sure Romans chapter 7 is good, but let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Go to verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people. A hot dog. They are great. Right? We're children of the King. Wonderful. Let's, above all the people that are on the face of the earth, I'm special because I'm a Christian. I've heard people say that, and they're in sin. I mean, if you're saying that, you're probably close to being in sin. Maybe that saying is not sinful, but you're bordering on pride. Anyway, let's go back to my limited notes here. Verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people. You were the fewest of all people. You are not in the upper 2% of the bell curve. You're in the middle. Maybe you're in the bottom third at best. Who knows where you are on the bell curve? But God says, you're not way over here on the right. So in my world, the right is you're the upper 2%, that bottom where it's coming back down. And for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, for the children, ask your mother or your father. They'll tell you. They'll explain it all. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep an oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and hath redeemed you out of the hand of the bondman, from the hand of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So even in there, where God is saying, I don't love you because you're wonderful. You are not Captain or Miss Wonderful. You're just average at best. I love you because of me. But even in here, at the end of verse 9, when he gets saying, I love you because of me, I have chosen you because of me, which keepeth covenant with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Even when he says that, but he says, if you love me, then I'm going to do this more. That's not what it says, but that's what I take from it. How do you show God's love? By he that hath this world's goods. What are this world's goods? I don't have a lot of money. Well, maybe. Do you have abilities? Do you have time? Do you have other things? And seeth his brother hath need. If somebody has a need for $1 million and you don't have $1 million, I've got good news. God's not going to tell you to give them $1 million. God's not going to tell you to do anything for anybody that you can't do. But if you've got $1 million, let's just pretend. If you've got $1 million and God tells you to give somebody $1 million, he might not be joking. But if he says, well, you know, that's easy, I don't have $1 million. Well, what if you've got $100 and God tells you to give $100? Or $5. Let's go $5, because even the kids can get their hands on $5. Well, I don't want to do that because I want that for me. Well, when it's your turn, you may be facing a little more discouragement than you would be if you hadn't given. Go to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter, Pastor just talked about this. So I'm saying, part of this is some of what you need when you're in trouble is you need to put some money in the bank, so to speak, by giving to others and being obedient. Well, let's see. Verse 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. So people that don't tithe often think, I am not robbing God. I'm sure they do. I'm not robbing God. Well, why? It says, because you haven't given, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that ye may be meat in mine house, and prove me now with therewith, saith the Lord of hosts. And if I will not now open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. So this is just because they gave 10% of their income to God. What is it? I don't know. For you, it could be money. For you, it could be health. For you, it could be, I don't know what it is. It's probably. In this particular case, I do think it's talking a little bit about money and material things, but who knows? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. Now, I have that underlined in my Bible because you know what? Satan wants to destroy you. Satan has not built anything. If anything in good in your life, it comes from God. And you think, well, God has done me dirty. Well, maybe. But I doubt it. Because even when you're being a dingbat, you are not going to hell if you're saved. You live in America. No missiles were flying over your house. Everybody drove here except John. And honestly, I've seen John drive his scooter, and he shouldn't be behind the wheel of a car anyway. Because he doesn't look all the time. But don't worry, John. There's plenty of other drivers who do the same thing. But God says he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know what? That to me is... That to me is a great comfort for a lot of reasons. You know, I never thought I'd have the job that I have. I never thought that I'd be in the position that I am. But I also never thought that we'd have the health problems in my house that we've had. You know, honestly, there's a reason sometimes I make the money I make, because of what I have to spend. Well, I didn't want, you know, and selfishly, I wanted to keep that for me. Well, you know what? Sometimes the reason you have money is because you're about to have a big need. Sometimes that's why you have money. So I tell this to clients, remember the tax money that you now don't have? And remember the boat that you bought? Well, the boat was supposed to be not bought, and that was supposed to be put in the bank for taxes. The same thing for you as a Christian. Remember the thing you did with this? Maybe that was for the bad thing that was coming right around the corner. I'm not saying I've always handled things fantastically or swimmingly in my life. Far from it. Far from it. But sometimes God gives us things because in 60 days, you're going to have a huge bill come around the corner and you would have had no way to pay it without that money that you have in your hot little hands that's burning a hole in your pocket. So if you have a windfall, you just got your tax refunds, or you just won first prize at the beauty contest. Let's go back to Monopoly here, but you know, you just won we have those weird prizes that you win in Monopoly. Somebody just handed you $1,000. Don't go, oh, I can do this. Let it breathe. Think about it for 30 seconds before you go, spending it like a drunken sailor or like you're in government. Think about it. You know, we had a guy at our house trying to sell me windows, and he gave me a number that was, he had great courage to give me the number he gave me out loud. And then he followed it up with even more courage to say, and how will you be paying for this today? We have this financing option. Well, I said, well, time out. I'm not borrowing money for windows that do not add one iota of value to my house. Maybe they'd add $5,000, but the windows were more than $5,000. If you multiply it by 10 and times 2, then we're close. He was gutsy. But the point is, don't when you get something in your hands, don't say, what can I do with this for me? Maybe you are supposed to do it for you, because maybe tomorrow you're going to land on the other, you know, those other negative things on the Monopoly board that says assessment, you know, pay whatever. You know, we've all had assessments. Sometimes they come from the tax man. Sometimes they come from the car man. Sometimes they come from the doctor. Sometimes they come from the furnace guy. Sometimes they come from the roof guy. We've all had assessments. Because you know what? And if you think, well, I've got $10,000 for that I can do whatever. Well, good for you, but I got bad news. If God doesn't want you to have $10,000, you're not going to have it. Again, let's get back to the notes. So what is the point of this message? Save. How do you save? By giving to others, by giving to Christians, by loving Christians, by doing good things. And how do we know? So if I give to a fellow brother in need, you know, if God tells you to give something to a fellow Christian, give it to them. Give it to them. You don't know how big of an occurrence. Well, they don't come to church anymore. You don't think God can remind them that, hey, I had another fellow believer give you money, and you don't even go to church. This Holy Spirit's not dead. I know he's well, alive and well in my life. He reminds me all the time of all the good and the bad in my life that of my own choosing. Like, are you sure you want to go down this road? We've been down this road before, and it's no fun. Are you sure? He's going to ask you sometimes. Don't go down the bitterness road. Don't go down the, it's all about me. Well, you know what? He's dead. Toby Keith, who sang that song, It's All About Me, he's not here anymore. He just died at a very young age. And he was a guy about like me, and I saw a picture of him just before he died. If he weighed 150 pounds, I'd be shocked. I'm not saying that was God's judgment on his life. I am not. I would never. But if it's all about you all the time, I know for me, when I make it all about me, sometimes it's all about me, and I'd rather it wasn't. Because sometimes the all about me is bad stuff that somehow finds its way into my life. Go to Matthew chapter 10, and then we'll get off of this point. Matthew chapter 10. You say, well, if I give to this in this person, and they do something stupid with it, I just wasted God's resources. Well, maybe. Maybe. Go to verse 40. And this is the sermon. This is not the Sermon on the Mount. He that receiveth me, receiveth you, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. This is where my disability to read is hampering me today. He that receiveth the prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. So if you gave something that you feel like, no, don't be stupid, but if God tells you to do something for somebody, and you do it, you're getting the prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. Well, what if they're not righteous? Did you receive them in the name of a righteous man? Did you do all you could to make sure they were righteous, and then they weren't? And whosoever giveth a cup of cold water, a drink unto one of these little ones, a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So all I'm saying is, when you're discouraged, you want to have some stuff in the bank. But you can never have enough in the bank. As far as you are not good enough to get yourself out of trouble. Because, you know, but Pastor, I've heard this before. But Pastor King, when he was here at the Beast Feast, preached on salvation. But one of the phrases he mentioned several times, I'm sure he did several times during the Beast Feast, was, God has a hammer big enough for you. If you're proud, God has a hammer to fix your pride. Whether it's a little tiny jeweler's hammer or a wrecking ball, God's got a hammer big enough to fix your pride. I would rather he fixed my pride with a jeweler's hammer. If anybody know what a jeweler's hammer is, it's about the size of my thumb, the head, and you would be hard-pressed to do any work with it. But if God needs to use the wrecking ball on you, he will. So if there's something that you're fighting in your life over and over and over and over and over and over again, get it fixed. I know some people that have dealt with the same thing for as long as I've known them and known of them. And that's getting to be longer and longer. I've got more gray hair than I used to. And they deal with the same thing. If you're dealing with the same thing over and over and over and over, ask God, God, what are you trying to take out of my life? Sometimes it might be nothing. You know, it might be the thorn in the flesh. And if it's that, God will tell you. But if it's sin, God will tell you. He'll tell you. You may not like what you see, but he'll tell you. And get it fixed before he has to. You don't want him to fix it, just like your children. This, you better take care of this or I will. That was not, oh, goody, Daddy's going to take care of the problem. It's, oh, no, Daddy's going to take care of the problem. The same thing with God. If you don't take care of it, he can. And he will, because he loves you. Hebrews chapter 12. This is not the thrust of the message, but he chasteneth every son whom he receiveth. If you've got something in your life that you're dealing with, and you say, you know what, I'm not going to deal with that. If God wants to deal with it, he's going to. And it may not always be fun. But get it taken care of. So give. And then the last thing we're going to talk about. So what do we do in trouble? We give in advance. You know, the world wants to take in advance. You know, borrow money. You know, you can't afford that nice new car, but guess what? We can lend you the money at 10% over 8 years, and this car can be yours. Well, great. That's how the world operates. But God says, God operates on the opposite, which is painful in the short run, but God says, you save up for it, and then you buy it. That's how God works. Not just with money, but with spiritual things. A lot of times, it's wait. Let's go to 2 Timothy. And go to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. On that note, let's close the service. It was wonderful to be here. No, that's not what you expected to hear tonight. That's not what I was talking about, but, you know, it reinforces the first point. But evil men and seducers wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Do you think people out there fit that bill? Yes. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, and knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Who's he talking to? He's talking to Timothy. Who did he learn them from? His mother and his grandmother. Timothy's father, for all we know, and for what people expect, is MIA. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, for righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What's the point of this? This is also another way to save children, even non-children. When the time to learn great biblical truths is not when you're sitting in the hospital, just before or after you've heard terrible news. You're not going to learn anything in the hospital. You're not. I've been in the hospital and heard horrible news. Not about me, but about my wife. I guess what? I wasn't learning anything new. Anything I had to be up here from the time I was Christina's age. Thankfully, I grew up in a home and I came to a church. And I can remember going to VBS as a little child when Mr. Blair, and he's been in heaven a long time. He's been in heaven a long time. The Stranger of Galilee. And I thought I could... and honestly, I thought I heard Mr. Breyer sing last Sunday night. I did. You know, from a little kid, I have heard the gospel. From a little kid, I've sung out of that red songbook. I've heard Mr. Breyer singing. I've heard Mr. Blair request The Stranger from Galilee. I've heard all of those things and some of those songs as a kid. They didn't mean much, because guess what? I was a little kid. I didn't know that the world was a bad place. My world was pretty good. My parents got along. They loved me. They took care of me. I had siblings, and we loved each other. Yes, we chased each other around the yard with baseball bats sometimes. We did. I'm not saying we had a perfect household. But, you know, it wasn't so bad. Nobody in here, so I consider myself very blessed. But you know what? You know when I needed those songs that I learned when I was Timothy's age? Not when I was Timothy's age. I didn't need them then. Maybe a little bit. Because you know what? Timothy has problems too. But Timothy can't handle adult-sized problems just yet. So you know what? Timothy gets Timothy-sized problems. And Christina gets Christina-sized problems. And Bella gets Bella-sized problems. And every adult in here gets your size problems. This is not a one-size-fits-all program. How come they don't have as many problems as I do? Maybe God loves you more. I'm not trying to be trite. I'm really not. Maybe he doesn't, because he loves us all. Don't know why, but he does. But the time to learn this stuff is not when you have bullets whizzing over your head. You know, we're coming up on it's one of the big anniversaries for D-Day. It was a long time ago. 1944, that's 80 years. We're coming up on the 80th anniversary of D-Day. So the first time those guys jumped out of a plane, do you think it was June 6th, 1944, when they were jumping out of the plane? I don't think so. Do you think the first time they fired their weapons was June 6th, 1944? No. It was, for some of those guys, it was like 2 years earlier. They'd been training for 2 years. Spiritually, there's a good application there for you as a Christian. What are you doing today for tomorrow? Because guess what? If the Lord doesn't tarry his coming, it's not getting better out there. It's not. I mean, I think tonight would be a great night for the rapture. My request has long been that the rapture would happen just before I go to bed on Sunday night. Because Sunday afternoon depression is real. If you've ever worked a job and you've never had Sunday afternoon depression, good for you, but for the rest of us who go to work every day, every week, Sunday afternoon, it starts to go downhill. And when I worked third shift, it was worse, but because that means I had to be Sunday morning. Monday morning started at midnight. It's not going to get better. So what do? We have to know the scripture. You know, Pastor King talked, one of the messages he talked about dealing with temptation. Romans, he had us read Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. That has a lot of good application. Yeah, it's Romans chapter 6, 1 through 19. He recommends people do that for who are dealing with a besetting sin. Well, even if you don't have a besetting sin of immorality or your language or drinking or smoking or whatever, for sure you have a besetting sin of lack of faith. That's just because of who we are. You have a besetting sin of other things. You're dead to that now. The new you doesn't do that. With one more, two more verses, and then we'll close. So this has gone a little longer than anticipated, but hopefully I haven't said anything too crazy. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37. And David said, moreover, this is when David's getting ready to fight the giant. Moreover, the Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Now, time out. Saul was the king and the biggest guy in the land. He said he was head and shoulders above the rest of them. So he's sending Titus or Michael out to do a man's job. Let's just be real. It'd be like me sending Titus or Michael out to do my job. I'm a little bigger than Titus or Michael. A little stronger. I'm probably not faster, but I'm not afraid to cheat. I'm not afraid to even the odds. Cheating is a strong word. And Saul armed David with his armor and put on him an helmet of brass, and he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor and essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, and I cannot go with them, I have not proved them. And David put them off of him. When you're going through problems, have you proved this? Have you proved the Bible? You don't have to wait until you're in the hospital and you hear those three magical words that wrecks people's lives. Those are, you have cancer. Those are bad words. Or you're going to die because you have a heart condition. That's not the time to say, I'm going to do. No. And behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. That's talking about salvation. Now is the time to learn the Bible. Now is the time to learn those songs. That when you're up at 3 a.m. thinking about all the bad things that are in your life, you're not alone with your thoughts. Hey, I've been alone with my thoughts at 3 a.m. It's no fun. That's not a, being alone with yourself, it's not a good place to be. But if you can teach yourself God's principles and God's word, you'll be a lot better off than when you just heard something that makes you, you know, face yourself and think, you know, the old unshackled thing. We're all going to have a time when we have to face ourselves and think. And if you don't have anything in the bank, you're in trouble. Go with this, we'll close. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. So that's for Timothy and Audra and Michael. You guys don't worry about the mortgage. You guys don't worry about the electric bill. You don't worry about the car payment. That's your mom and dad's problem. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun nor the light of the moon be not darkened. What's the point of this? Hey, if you're not, if you're young and you don't have any problems, don't waste that time. Look to add stuff to your spiritual bank account. And for those of us who are adults I know all of the adults in here have had some bad things happen to them. Maybe you're not going through them right now, but I can say with a fairly high degree of certainty, more trouble is coming. It happens. You know, pastor thought he was going to be preaching tonight, and then he slept wrong. You know, that's all that has to happen sometimes. You know, I remember when my back went out 10 years ago, I reached around to the back seat of the car, and I couldn't straighten up for 6 weeks. So, you know, apparently there was some things for me that God wanted to talk to me about, that he needed my full and undivided attention. Well, he got it, trust me. You know, back pain and shoulder pain and those kind of pain, they get your attention. Don't wait until you can't think. Because when you have bad things go on in your life, when your brain has turned jello because you don't know what to do, you're not learning anything. You're just trying to get to this afternoon. You're not trying to grow. You're not trying to learn. You're just trying to survive. That's not the time to add to your spiritual bank account. That's the time. You don't want to go to be drawing on that spiritual bank account and the check get returned for NSF. God may honor one or two of those checks, because the bank will. But eventually, he's going to stop honoring those checks. The same thing with us. Don't wait. If you have something you're supposed to fix, fix it now. Don't wait till you just heard some terrible news. Fix it now. Don't wait. When you're a kid, get it fixed now. And when you're older, more experienced, if there's things you're supposed to take care of them. Don't die with those problems. You don't have to. So Pastor talked about discouragement, and discouragement, all the things that he talked about this morning. But, you know, one of the things that he talked about was David encouraged himself in the Lord. This is ways that this David has encouraged himself in the Lord. With those two verses, they have encouraged me in when, there was a time in my life where I couldn't go down North Street at certain times of day, certain times of year, because that's the day that I found out my wife had cancer. I couldn't go down North Street in the middle of July on a summer day, late afternoon on a sunny day. Couldn't do it, because that's when it happened. And your brain remembers all kinds of weird things. You know, like God tells the sparrows, gives them direction by light. He does it to people too. You just don't know it. Because when I, certain times, certain things, I remember by what else happened. And it's happened to you. If you've been alive, I know what's happened to you. That's not the time to learn anything. So with this, we'll close. But let's pray. And if there's, you know, if God's, you say, I don't know what to do, ask him for help. This isn't impossible. Say, I've messed up. Look around. You're in a building full of people who've done the same thing, probably worse. And if you see somebody who's had a similar thing, go ask them for help. I don't know how to fix this. Will you pray for me, like Pastor talked about this morning? Them praying for you does two things. It helps them and it helps you. And then when you get that issue fixed in your life, go look for somebody else to help. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you for your goodness to us. I thank you that, Lord, you spoke to me even this morning and you gave me something before I knew I needed it. And Lord, I pray that you'll be with the words that I said and the scripture that I gave to people. Help us to be looking to save and add things to our spiritual bank account, so to speak, and to try you and prove you. Lord, you've done so many things for us. Help us to not take them for granted. Help us to not take us lightly. Lord, I pray that you'll be with Pastor, help his back. And Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us. I thank you for the encouragement from your word.